ask Brother Bear to bring forth the word tonight if he'd come right now.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Schumacher, for this wonderful opportunity to bring forth the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn to Genesis, the 24th chapter, and we're going to read the first verse. Amen. Genesis 24 and 1 says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." That means everything. Everything he did, everything he needed. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And then John 4 and 6 says this. "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Being wearied with his journey, he sat on the well." Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity tonight to look into the most precious thing that you have given us, Lord. I thank you for your word, God. Lord, I thank you for the foundation that it gives us to stand on. Lord, I pray tonight, oh God, that you would open our understanding, open our eyes, open our heart, Lord. Let us leave here encouraged in you, God. Lord, in this dry and dusty world, you have given us life. Lord, and I pray that we too, as we leave this place, would share that life that you've given unto us with others that so desperately need, Lord, to drink from your well. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." When you walk in covenant with the Lord and you have an intimate relationship with the Lord, like Brother East said last Wednesday night, his intentions for us are good. And Abraham was blessed in all things. And we too, as we walk in covenant with the Lord and his word and his instruction, we are blessed in all things. I so feel tonight just to teach. Spring up a well. Spring up a well. When I put this message together on Monday night, I sat in my living room, my faithful 94-pound friend sitting right next to me. And it was just such a beautiful time in the Lord as I looked into his word, and the Lord had spoken to me weeks ago about this title that I want to speak to you about tonight, a play on words, if you will. Abraham was well stricken in age. And as I get older and mature in the Lord and share this truth with others out there in this dry world, this needy world that we live in, I want to be well stricken. I want the water of the Lord to run from me to them and allow for them to be refreshed and renewed in something that is so real. Yet the enemy has blinded their eyes. But each and every one of us, saints of God, are a child of God that holds inside of us a well of living water that he has given unto us. John 4 and 14 says, "But whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well." In him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. See, we're bubbling springs of salvation to this world. And God has given us life. Not only here, but the promise and hope of eternal life. But he didn't give it to us just so that we could have it. He gave it to us so that we could share it with somebody else. You know, we've been talking about junior camp. And this week it's senior camp. And I just want to take a second to use this platform to say that just as them little children and now the next group reach out to God and they grow that intimacy with God and have a time with them, home Bible studies are a well of living water. And brother, when Brother Portman spoke up here about, and it really resonated with me, Charter, when you said it's a beautiful thing to see these children reach out and cry out to the Lord. And that so touched my heart, because in a home Bible study, within the confines of your living room, it's a beautiful thing to see the light go on in people's faces and see their hearts awakened to an understanding, and it does something for you. I want you, last night in my household was week 10. And I have some of my spiritual children who are there, and they are bringing people with them, and my wife has been baking these awesome desserts. And they're made with almond flour. This is spiritual, isn't it? And it's just so good. And my wife said, "This has been such a special Bible study." I said, "It's because we're feeding them so well." And think about it. First of all, they get the best of the best. The Word of God, we feed them spiritually with the best that there is. And then after that, they get these desserts that to them they taste like this has got to be bad, but it's good. And they just keep coming and keep coming. And from this study, one of the men, my brother Keith, the Lord has filled him with the Holy Ghost. He's been baptized in the name of Jesus. And brother Romero Carranza, he is, last night we were talking, he's so excited. He's coming to family camp, and he's going to stay up there for some days and grow in the Lord. And it's so exciting, and I've just mentioned that to say camp is awesome, and I'm looking forward to going there this coming week as well. We're going, and I'm so excited about that. But please, please, consider sharing that well that you have inside you with somebody else in the confines of your living room. And I promise you, my wife will share her recipes with you as far as the awesome desserts, and you too can be alive and well in Jesus. Amen. That's no charge for that. That was extra. I had the song that we sang tonight on my heart as I was preparing this message, and I sat at that table for almost 4.5 hours and put my notes together, and when I got done, I was sitting there and thanking the Lord, and the window in the living room was open, and all of a sudden, Pastor Schumacher, this soft, gentle rain started falling, and I couldn't help but weep, and I just thank the Lord. I heard outside, it's been so hot and so dry, I can almost hear my lawn saying, water. And it was such a beautiful, peaceful, refreshing rain. After I got done putting these notes together, a message entitled, Well Stricken. I want the water of the Lord to flow from me to those that I meet in this world. Amen. The last time I spoke about Abraham, we talked about altars and how Abraham taught us in his word the importance of an altar and how we need an altar in our life. But as you study the scriptures, you will also see that Abraham showed us and Isaac showed us and Jacob showed us as well the importance of wells and what they do in the life of a believer and how they sustain us and refresh us. Now, Genesis, the 21st chapter, if we would look at verse 25. I will have these on the screen. We're gonna look at chapter 21, verses 25 through 30. I'm going to just highlight some of the verses. But this is a time when Abraham was speaking to Abimelech and Phicol, who was a chief captain of the host, and speaking to Abraham, and they were telling him, we can see that God is with you. And they saw the goodness of God in Abraham's life. And now they wanted to make a covenant with him that they would not deal falsely with them, but that all would be well with them. And Abraham said, I will swear that. And Abraham made a covenant with Abimelech, a deal, if you will. But he also, the Bible says in verse 25, he reproved him or corrected him and said, wait a minute. Yes, you see the goodness in God and me, and you have done some good things to me, but there have been some things that have happened that have not been so well that came from your direction. And Abraham reproved Abimelech in verse 25 because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants violently took away from Abraham. So yes, you've done some nice things for me, but let's go back and talk about this well that you took from me. And Abimelech didn't know about it. He said, I didn't know a thing about this until you mentioned this now. So they went on, they made a covenant. And Abraham, it says, verse 27, took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant or an agreement. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves, and Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, these 7 ewe lambs shall thou take of my hand, that may be a witness unto me that I have digged these wells. These are my wells, and these lambs will be proof of that. Seven of them. You see, it is the covenant of Beersheba, or the well of the sevenfold oath. Now, Abimelech means Melech is father, or my father is king, and Pichol means strong, and that was the captain of the host of the army for Abimelech. And so because of the lamb and our covenant with him, we can come against the kings of this world and the strengths of this world, because we have the authority and the strength, because we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The sevenfold oath meant something to Abraham and to Abimelech, who he made this agreement with, but we also have made an agreement with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So the kings of this world have no authority over us, but the Lord is the one who sets our life in order. Not only did Abraham know and show us the importance of an altar, but he also taught us how the altar leads to the refreshing and sustaining of the wells that give us life. He bargained for an agreement, but he also made it very clear that this is my well. I dug this well. This was done with my hands. Each and every one of us has a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's our relationship. The world can't take it. The world can't put it to an end. The world always wants to stop our wells. They want to stop them up and tell us, you can't do this. That's not right. That's going too far. I just had a talk with a young man a couple days ago who said someone sent him a video. And the video was how we as Christians are damaging our children by teaching them about the end times and about heaven and hell, and how it's mentally abusing them because we are teaching them things that cause them to live in fear. Trying to stop the well. Why? Because we're teaching our children what's right. Oh, let's lie to them about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy. That stuff's real, but boy, don't tell them the truth. The world will always try to stop up the wells, but these are wells of living water. In Genesis 26, we see Isaac striving to open the same wells that his father had dug. The inhabitants of our world also want to plug the wells, like I said. So what Isaac was doing was striving to open the same wells that Abraham had dug. After Abraham died, and now the covenant passed down through Isaac, and Isaac saw the importance and need of the wells, he was trying to open these wells, and they contended with him over and over. Verses 20 and 21 of this 26th chapter of Genesis say this. It says, and the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of that Sitna, which means enmity. And he removed from thence, verse 22, and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of that Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord had made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. The Lord had made room for us means he made it so we can stay. You see, with the living water that the Lord has given you and I through his Spirit, he made it so that we could survive here and we could be fruitful here and we could do what he has asked us. The world can't stop our wells. They can try to slow them down, but this is a living water. So in this chapter, it talks about the names of the well meant contention and strife. But notice that even in opposition from the enemy, the water still flows. And I tell you tonight, keep digging where the Lord has you. Keep digging where the Lord has you. He made it so we can stay. So Isaac knew the value of an altar just like his father did, but in verse 25, he dug a well there as well. When the Lord meets you, it's always a place of refreshing and something that you can always go back to and draw from. Isaiah 12, 2 and 3 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. We see the things in this world that are wrapped around the pandemic that we had and how they have just brought some things to a halt. My gosh, like Brother East shared, he can't even get Thousand Island dressing because of COVID. But the world does not understand about this living water, just like they didn't in the times of Jesus. But he taught, and the word went forth, and they saw these things play out before their eyes. Verses 32 and 33 of this 26th chapter of the book of Genesis say this, and it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. Sheba derives from a word meaning seventh, and the sign of completion or strength. We know that number seven, and yes, even oath or covenant. God gives us the strength to be what he has called us to be, and he will complete what he has started in our lives as we walk in covenant with him, as we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, according to the third chapter of the book of Galatians. So the well still flows from generation to generation to generation, and we who have become Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise because we have put on Christ, the water still flows. If there's anybody who knows the water still flows, it should be the Apostolic Church. So, in Genesis, the 29th chapter, this is Jacob. You know what's amazing? That Isaac, his bride, that Abraham sent his servant to fetch a bride for Isaac, Isaac's bride was discovered at a well. Jacob's bride was discovered at a well. You and I, who have become the bride of Christ, well, it was all discovered at the well. The living water that flowed from him into our lives allowed for us to see and understand and become a part of the body of Christ. In Genesis, the 29th chapter, verse 2 says this, and this is Jacob, who we know is running. He has some problems in his life, but verse 2 said, and he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep laying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. Look what I want you to see in John, the 4th chapter and verse 6. We read that scripture to start out tonight. It says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. I want you to see this. There's the well. Jesus sitting on it. Just like back here in Genesis, the 29th chapter, there was a great stone on the mouth of the well. The chief cornerstone. The stone that the builders rejected. We heard that scripture tonight. And there he was. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus was that well. Notice the verse also says this, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by the well. You know what? It's a good thing to linger at the well. The sheep knew it. They were laying in a place where they knew there was refreshing and there was restoration. It's good to linger. Pastor Schumacher said just a few moments ago that if we want more, we can push in and get to a greater degree. I wanted to jump up and we're going to go a little deeper now and see what it's like to linger. The sheep lingered at the well. They were laying in a place, but there was a stone that covered it. Please remember that in the 20th chapter of the book of John, when Peter and John went to the tomb, the stone had already been removed. There was a great stone that was in front of that tomb. But when they got there and when Mary got there, the stone had been removed. Peter and John went in. They saw the napkin. They saw where his body had laid. And then the Bible says that when they saw that, they believed and they returned to their own place. Casual, Pastor Schumacher. Yeah, we saw it. We believe he was there, but he's gone. But the Bible said that Mary stayed and she wept. She lingered. There she was at the place where the great stone was removed, and she looked in, and the Bible says that she saw two bright angelic beings, one sitting at the head and one sitting at the foot of where Jesus laid. A perfect type and a shadow, if you will, of the Ark of the Covenant. And in that ark, The Bible says, according to 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, there was nothing in the ark save the word of God. The tables of stone that Moses brought down, that's all that was left in the ark when they took it to the holy place in the temple. Mary lingered, and she looked into the grave, and she saw something that nobody else saw. But the word of God records it. Why did she see it? She stayed a little longer. She lingered a little time longer. And she looked in, and God gave her revelation. You see, here's what I want you to see tonight. Walking in true covenant with the Lord. And like Jesus said in John 7 and 37, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Spirit, which was not yet given, because Christ was not yet glorified. But believing on him, as the scripture hath said, there are things that are ushered into our lives that casual Christianity will never see. Go with me, if you will, to 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, and let's push a little deeper. Let's look a little further. Start at verse 6. It says, and the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord into the place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. Think back to what Mary saw at the tomb. They were looking where Jesus had laid. And for all practical purposes, the same thing was there that was in the Ark of the Covenant. All that was in there was the Word. And Jesus, in the beginning, was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. 14th verse of that book of John says, and the Word was made flesh. The Word of God laid there, but was no longer there. Because he was gonna come back and be the refreshing that you and I would receive. The living water would flow out of that tomb into us. For the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And watch this. Here's what I want you to see. Verse 8, and they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without, and there they are to this day. So they drew the staves out of the Ark of the Covenant, laid them down, and the Bible says the ends were seen in the holy place, but could not be seen outside of the holy place. That word ends, if you look at it, it means the head of the staves. The head of the staves was visible in the holiest of holies, but could not be seen without. You and I, because we have been brought into the deepness of God and we have been filled with his Spirit, we see things and we see who the head is. We know who Jesus is. He has given us that revelation. And we have seen that in a place of intimacy with him that not everybody else has. Just like Mary saw the two sitting in the tomb because she stayed and she lingered, so too have many of you out there seen things. There have been people that have seen angels. There are people that hear that the Lord has spoken deep and intimate things to. And people have seen visions. How many times do you remember Pastor Schumacher talking about people telling him he would be standing at this sacred desk teaching the Word of God and someone would see an angel that was standing behind him? The Lord himself opening up and peeling back the curtain and letting us see things in the holy place. This is a holy and sanctified and set apart place. And God allows for us to see things because we push a little deeper. We go a little further. There was a great stone upon the mouth's well. And there too at Jacob's well, when Jesus was wearied with his journey. Anybody wearied with their journey tonight? I can tell you simplistically, push a little further. Go a little deeper. Pray a little longer. Fast a little while longer. Ooh. See, because watch. What did they fill the wells with? They filled them with dirt. They filled them with earth. It's this dust that we battle that doesn't want us to push a plate away. It doesn't want us to stay a little longer at the altar. Or the kings of this world and the strengths of this world want to push in and choke us off and try to make us think we don't have time to do this and we don't have time to do that. But I tell you, we have the time. We just need to make the time. And God will show us and God will reveal to us and God will speak to us through his word. Through the man of God. Listen, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And we are in these end times. And the latter rain is going to be greater than the former. So look, there is going to be a flow of the spirit. This world wants us to think, oh no, we're going to stop up them wells. But I'm telling you that the wells are going to flow. We just need to push a little deeper and stay a little longer. Isaiah 12 and 6 says this, cry out and shout, thy inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel. In the midst of thee, I never saw it this way before, but great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of each and every one of us. And God has selected you and I for such a time as this to call out to this world of the goodness of God and of the things of God. When the water flows from the well, they see it. They know it's different. They know it's real. When it's Jesus, look, think of what the Bible said about the disciples. They were unlearned, but what did they perceive? That they had been with Jesus. Yeah, well, we might just be ordinary folk, but they can see that we've been with Jesus. I want to tell you and encourage you that the Lord Jesus Christ has gave you the most wonderful and precious gift that he ever could give, himself living in you. As the musicians come, 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. verses 1 through 5. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ." The same water that nourished back in these days is the same water that still is flowing to you and I. Verse 5, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Could I just show you just a different application of this scripture? We know the murmuring displeased God. But can I also tell you, and we are all aware of this, that there are many right now that are overthrown in this world. And God may not be pleased with their lifestyle, but he has given someone else an answer that can flow into their lives and change them like it changed us. And we can allow for them to drink from the same spiritual rock that we were privileged to drink from. And I close with this. "For with stammering lips," Isaiah 28, 11 and 12, "and another tongue, will he speak to his people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing.'" Yet they would not hear. Sometimes people don't hear because no one calls out to them. I challenge you tonight, as you push in a little further and go a little deeper in prayer, ask the Lord, "Put somebody on my mind or in my heart, Lord, that you would have me to speak to. Put someone in my path that I could share this living water with." How pleasing would that be to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Of all that we ask, our request would be, "Lord, show me someone that I can give a drink, who so desperately needs it in this dry and parched world." Would you stand with me tonight? Would you come to the altar tonight and push a little deeper? Spend some time with the Lord.